Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. One of my favorite professors at seminary, at Gettysburg Seminary, was Dr. Jacob Myers. He's my Old Testament professor. And Jacob Myers once told the class, the last great Christian prophet in America was Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. knew the old song, red and yellow, black and white, they are precious in his sight. All people, no matter their gender, no matter their color, their race, they're all made in the image and likeness of God. They are to be loved by God. But Martin Luther King Jr. saw the original sin we have in our country, racism, sexism, white supremacy, white nationalism. And he spoke against this because it's not the way of the kingdom of God. And he knew, just like Abraham Lincoln had a premonition of his death, so Martin Luther King Jr. knew he was going to be assassinated. But that didn't stop him. And the night before he was assassinated, he made this speech. He said, but it really doesn't matter now, because I have been to the mountaintop, and I've looked over, and I've seen the promised land. I may not get there with you, but I want you to know that tonight, as a people, together, we will get to the promised land. So I'm happy tonight. I am not worried about anything. I'm not fearing any man. Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. You know, today's gospel reading and our Bible readings from the Old Testament were the inspiration for Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. for this speech. To see the glory of the Lord, the vision of the Lord coming, where he was given strength to speak truth to the wickedness he saw around him, even though he knew this would cost him his life. He knew more than that. He was to the mountaintop, he looked over, and he saw his future in the Lord. He saw the last chapter of his life and all of our lives in the glory of Jesus Christ. And that gave him the courage to live, and that gave him the courage to die. So let's look deeply at these lessons today that inspired Dr. King and see how these lessons can inspire you and me in America today, where racism and white supremacy and sexism still exist, and unfortunately sometimes exist from high places in government. Our gospel lesson today follows Matthew after Peter's great confession in the chapter before this. He said to Jesus, you are the Christ. You are the Son of the living God. And Jesus affirmed that. And then Jesus told him what that meant. And it upset Peter, but it continued. And right after this, we hear today's gospel lesson. Today we see Jesus glorified, flanked by Moses, the giver of the law, the one who went up on Mount Sinai and got the Ten Commandments that Karen read about and gave them to the people. Elijah, the great prophet of Israel, was there with them, pointing to him. And he shone in glory. And God spoke from a cloud today. And he said to all gathered, Peter, James, and John, Jesus, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. And where did we hear that before? Earlier in Matthew's gospel, when Jesus was baptized, he came out of the water, when John was there, and the people were there, and God said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. Listen to him. Today, God directs us to see and listen to Jesus, knowing that Jesus is the truth. He is not fake news. He's the truth. He's not alternate facts. He's the truth, the Son of God. And this is the Son who is glorified. This is the Son who goes to the cross. And notice the order. Glory, then cross. And I don't think we like to hear this, because I think many times as people, We like the glory. We like to get the highs of glory. We like to get thrilled with success, high on entertainment, high on diversions, high on sex, high on drugs. We work hard during the week so we can get high, and this, thank God, it's Friday. And to escape the pain and suffering and the realities and the messiness of this world. To escape the lies and the racism and the sexism and the messiness of this life. We're tired of it. We want to escape that. Give us these mountaintop experiences. We like the glory. We like the shining white. We like the purity and no messiness. No sweaty sweat socks. We like the clean. And we muster our guts. We work out our lives to get the glory. The guts, no glory, right? No guts, no glory. We want to fight to get all the gusto in life. And this is exactly where the disciples were this morning, as we read from Matthew's gospel. They love the glory. Peter wanted to keep the glory. Let's build three dwellings, Lord. One for you and one for Moses and one for Elijah. Let's keep the glory. But he forgot what Jesus had just said earlier. If any person comes after me, let him take up his cross and follow me. We don't want to hear that cross business. We don't like to hear that. So why does Jesus spoil our fun? Why doesn't Jesus just hang up there and have their little cottage up there, the three dwelling places, and live in the glory? Why go back down the mountain? It's so messy down there, so messy. So why descend from the Mount of Transfiguration to the Mount of the Cross, to Golgotha? Why does this Jesus spoil our good times? Because, and I've said this before, because Jesus loves you. This life we have is a gift. This time we have between the time we were born and the time we die, that dash between you see on the tombstones, that's our life. God doesn't want us to waste it. He wants us to experience it and live this life fully as sons and daughters of God. Jesus loves us, and Jesus loved Peter and James and John. He didn't want them to miss life. Jesus knew the power of escape from life, the power of evil. Jesus knew the power of evil that makes us want to escape our destinies, that makes us want to take the stones and turn them into bread and have it easy, to escape what God made us to be in this world and the lights God made us to be to shine on this world, to make it a better place. And we need to live our lives to discover who we really are. We need to face the problems and the challenges and the tests in our lives to see our baptismal reality, the Holy Spirit in us, who gives us the courage and the power and the wisdom and the fortitude to get through. Today, God gives the disciples a vision of hope, a vision to help face the painful reality of what was to follow in the next few days, next few weeks. Jesus knew the reality. No glory, no guts. Jesus would pray, take this cup away from me, but not my will, your will. He had the glory to have the guts to do what God wanted him to do, to fulfill his destiny and our salvation. This is the reason for our vision of the glory of Christ on this Transfiguration Sunday, to give us hope, to give us glory, to know that who we are as the light of Christ, to face our lives, to face reality, come what may. Because we have a vision of glory today, a vision of hope. Our eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. And we don't have to be afraid of anything or anybody. The way God made us, I don't think that we can live without a word of hope. I know I can't. I mean, the kind of hope we get when someone says, I think we got all the cancer, or the pulse is stronger now, or you're going to make it, or how creative you are, what a wonderful young man or woman you are. Boy, this is wonderful, I love your imagination. Or, yes, I do love you. An experience to celebrate, an experience to give us hope and energy, a hope which gives us the power to face our nows and our tomorrows, the glory which gives us the guts to face other voices. You can't do that. You know, you're ugly. Oh, you're stupid. Oh, be realistic. Or, what are you trying to prove? Or, who do you think you are? Or, I don't love you. Or, you're fired. My son Luke, we were talking to him last night. A friend of his, a hard worker at the company they work at. He was on paternity leave. Second week of paternity leave. He gets an email from his company. We don't need you anymore. An email! He went back to work. His card didn't work to get into security. He had to ask special permission to get there, to get his stuff, to go home. Yeah. We need the glory of Jesus. We need, especially in these situations, to know Jesus is with us and the glory is there to give us the strength to live our lives, to enter our Lenten journey as we are this Wednesday. Lent is a wonderful time to have us look at. We are baptized, we have the glory of God, but there are things that get in the way of loving God, of loving one another, a fear of life, a fear of people that are different from us, a fear of different ideas. We need the glory of Jesus to empower us to come down from the mountain and to face ourselves or the world as it is, not as we want it to be, but as it is. We need the glory of Jesus to do this. This Wednesday, this Ash Wednesday, is the beginning of Lent, a time in the church year for us to contemplate who we really are, what this life is all about, how we are tempted in so many ways, tempted not to love our neighbors, tempted to hide from God, tempted not to live the reality of who we are, to live out our destiny, not to descend down the mountain of transfiguration to the valley. Yes, I believe there is much to learn going from the high points of this Sunday and the journey to the cross. There is much to learn following the way of Jesus. I believe there is also an adventure, taking our true life journey to live out our baptism. Sure, there are risks and pain involved, but there is also growth and joy and growing in confidence. I guess our life's journey, our Lenten journey, is some way similar to one of my favorite stories. And you know it. You probably read it or you know the movie. The Wizard of Oz. The Wizard of Oz. A young girl in a farm. All of a sudden there's that tornado and she ends up in Oz. And she tells Toto, this is not Kansas anymore. And she wanted to get home. The worst thing in the world. She wanted to get home. And she found out there was only one way to get home. She had to see the great Wizard of Oz in Emerald City. And somehow he was going to help her. But what was he going to do? They didn't know. Because remember the movie, they said, what's the Wizard of Oz do? How, he's wonderful. Well, why is he wonderful? Well, because of the wonderful things he does. They knew he did something. They didn't know what he was doing. So she trusted. She followed the yellow brick road. She followed the yellow brick road. So she followed the yellow brick road. And on her way to the Emerald City, she met three interesting characters. A scarecrow who didn't have anything up here. It was straw, and he wanted to be able to think deep thoughts. And a lion who was like a cowardly lion. And a tin man. Boom, boom. He didn't have a heart. And they went along and they had all kind of experiences. And I'm not going to go into that. Read the book. It's a great book. Or the movie. It's usually out this time of year. In fact, I never really knew the movie. Because our television is black and white. I didn't know about the horse in a different color until we got color television. Said, oh, there is a horse of a different color. But that's another story. But what happened through this journey was unexpected, really. Because whenever they were confronted with danger, guess who came through? The cowardly lion. Whenever they had a problem to solve, guess who solved it mentally? The scarecrow. And the tin man, he was so touched and crying all the time, they had to keep oiling him because he kept rusting. Well, the climax of the story happens when, after finally reaching Emerald City, they make the shattering discovery that the great Wizard of Oz was not that great at all. In fact, he was not even a wizard. Rather, he is a helpless little man from the Midwest who even calls himself a fake. A fake. He can't help them. But is he a fake? He does something Dorothy and her friends didn't expect. What he actually does is to point out to each of them the very thing they traveled all this distance to find. Listen closely. What they were looking for was in them all the time. But they wouldn't know that unless they made the journey. Unless they made the journey. So with us, we are baptized in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. We have all the gifts of the Spirit. We are loved by God. But to make this really real, we need to take the journey. We need to leave the mountaintop and go into the messiness of smelly sweat socks and weeds and messiness of life and the goodness of life. But we have to hit the bumps of the road to know that we are loved and we are given the strength to meet those bumps and to go through them and to be successful in the Lord. A few weeks ago, we had a funeral here, and I was greeting the people, and suddenly I saw him coming up. I said, "Oh no, not him. He slandered me in the past. He's lied about me and did very negative things about me. I was very angry with him. But look, I got the pastor thing. I got the collar on. I got the cross on him. He's coming to a funeral, and the Holy Spirit touched my life. And I put out my hand, and I said, "Welcome, Jim. Welcome, Jim." And I meant it. That was the Holy Spirit. I said, "Thank you, Jesus. It wasn't Fred. It was you." And I don't have that negative stuff anymore. I feel lighter. I feel better. Just as the mountaintop experience did not blind Jesus to who he is or what he was about. The Son of Man is going to be betrayed and tortured and killed, but on the third day, rise again. He had the glory. He had the guts. He had the glory after the crucifixion. Jesus had to take the journey to fulfill his God-given destiny, and so do we. And on the night, last night of his life on earth, what did he do? He did what Jesus did. He took bread, broke it, gave thanks. Wine, poured it, gave thanks to God. We enter this Wednesday into Lent. A wonderful opportunity that the church gives us to really do a gut check. We have the glory today. And if you really take time to enter Lent, if you take some of the devotions and take time, turn off the telephone, turn off the iPads, turn off everything else, and spend time with God and with your church, it can be a time of looking at yourself. And it can be scary, a time of change and adventure and pain, but also growth and confidence that God is with you, even in the dark shadows. I hope you enter it, become truly who you are through your baptism into Christ. As we continue our lives and leave this Sunday, as we go down, what's the road again? Walter's Road, back into our lives, knowing that God is with you. And remember today that you too have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord in your life, and to live out your baptism. Look out for the wonderful adventure God has before you and all the discoveries you will make. And the peace of God that passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.